All right, Allie, it's 2 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Joanne Whitman. I work for Member Solutions. I want to thank everyone for joining us today on our teleconference. Allie is going to be speaking about goal setting and time management today. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and just mention some information about the call. I'm going to go ahead and put Allie in something called lecture mode, which means that he'll be able to speak and everyone else on the call will be muted. When he does call for a question and answer, I will take the lecture mode off, but I would request that everyone hit *6 on their phone to mute themselves while another person is asking a question, rather. So I'm going to go ahead and put Allie into lecture mode as soon as he gets started.
Okay, I'm ready to go. Okay, everybody, welcome to another month of our Member Solutions conference calls, and I wanted to welcome everyone. This is kind of a topic that was brought up in our last conversation or last conference call and a request by some of the members, and I thought it was a good topic. I have taught this many times in my school to students and especially to my staff members, and I really use this as a religion practically in my life. So I wanted to continue on. As you know, there are two other conference calls this month. One is with Melody Schumann, and another with another guest speaker. And I wanted to also give the kudos to Member Solutions, because it's amazing that they've put together such great information for their clients, and I hope that everyone who's out there is utilizing the information and taking advantage of it. So I'm going to start. Throughout the years, I've worked hard, sometimes 7 days a week, up to 18 hours a day. I always wished for another day or more hours in the day so I could get more done. And you've heard that old cliche, there's not enough time in the day or there's not enough time in the week to get anything done. So I wanted to find a way to add more time to my schedule, or at least in theory be able to get more done. And the way I did that was by learning how to manage my time properly. And through time management, the proper time management, you could literally add on another half a day to a day to your time. When I say that, obviously we're not going to put 8 days in the week, but we could find another 24 hours in the week, that time that's being wasted. Most of you, if you found that time, you'd probably choose to work more. Personally, I'd rather, you know, play with my daughter and relax, or, you know, just to have some time to just enjoy life. Even though that sometimes working will get you, you know, working more and having more time to work will get you ahead, and then eventually you'll have more time. Unless you follow the philosophy of time management, you'll probably just end up just working more and managing your time more and working more and managing your time better and then working even more. So what we want to try to do is teach everyone to be able to maximize what they get done in the time period they get it done and be able to create free time for either themselves or their, you know, to spend more time on new ideas or building of your future or spending time at relaxing or enjoying the important things in life like family and, you know, downtime. So anyway, if I may use myself as an example, I'm going to mention some of the things that I get done. And I just kind of wrote this down quickly. And as I wrote this down, I kind of surprised myself in reference to all that I actually do. So I'm going to list it off and read it. In a normal week, as most of you know, I have run 5 schools on Long Island. So without going into detail, you know what it takes to run one single school or maybe 2. But just imagine what it takes to run 5. And then other than the 5 martial arts schools, I have 8 corporations, including those businesses. I also have corporations that are involved with real estate holding and rental properties, as well as investment properties. So I also not only have the 5 schools, but I do run 8 corporations within those schools and other real estate stuff. And with these things, I have to manage my money, pay my bills, organize my staff, do the payroll, or at minimum manage the payroll company that I use. I also do consulting, as you know, for Member Solutions and also for my private site, which is takingittothenextlevel.com. As well, I'm a single dad, and I actually have 50% custody of my child, so she's with me 16 to 20 days out of the month, and I'm with her, you know, 100% when I'm with her, so I spend full time with her. And if that sounds like a lot, then to top it off, I also run and manage my store, which is a martial arts supply center at Touches Zen, and a web store at touchesn.com. Now, besides that, I teach at minimum 20 hours per week. And before I wrote all this stuff down, I considered myself a little bit lazy. And now that I realize I get a lot done in a week, and here's some of the ways that I believe that I get as much done as I do. And these are a few steps to time management. The first thing is that I learned how to prioritize in my life, and you need to, as an owner of a business and a martial art instructor, learn to find out what projects in your life you can perform and how they should be done in what order. So, for instance, before you write anything down, I'm going to breeze through this, then I'm going to read in detail some excerpts from Franklin Covey Planning Systems. But you have to find out what your tasks are that you do daily. And then you also have to find out what your weekly tasks are. Then, of course, weekly transfers into your monthly, then quarterly and yearly. Once you learn to do that and prioritize, you can move forward and you have a certain discipline in getting your tasks done. And most of what I've learned, I came from the one source, which is the Franklin Covey Planning System. So I recommend that to everyone. If you haven't taken their course, you should definitely go on their website at franklincovey.com. That's FranklinCovey.com. And check out the seminar nearest you. The seminar is usually a one-day event, and not only do they have seminars in time management and goal setting, but they also have seminars on how to be a manager, how to manage people properly, and there's a seminar coming up in my area that I'm going to be going to pretty soon on that. And trust me, it's definitely the best money you could ever spend. I think the course is maybe about $250. I've sent pretty much every one of my staff members through it, and the thing is that if you don't learn the program and do it religiously, then you'll end up failing with it and it won't work for you. Because I've put some people through this course and I've found that they don't follow the systems and then they end up getting lost and getting frustrated and getting overwhelmed. And it's as simple as just following the system. And if you do, you will not believe the amount of area and of time that you'll save and the amount of stuff that you'll get done. So without further ado, I'm going to continue. And I'm going to read some excerpts from the Franklin Covey planner that I have. The first thing that is, and it's called Achieving Your Highest Priorities. And this came from Benjamin Franklin had a three-step method for planning and pursuing his priorities. And it all began with his value system. So he first determined what his values were, and then he prioritized and clarified each one. Now our values help us determine the top priorities in our lives and where we focus our time. So a sample value might include compassion, courage, creativity, faith, fitness, health, humor, patience, and teamwork. By clarifying your values, or clarifying when Franklin clarified his values, he was able to decide which areas of his life he needed the most focus on at a particular time. Prioritizing didn't mean that he believed one value was more important than another. It simply gave him structure so he could focus on the most compelling values first. Here are four steps to focusing your value on what you're focusing your time on what you value most and what you want to accomplish in life. The first step is to identify your values, like we had just spoke about. Now, again, I'll reiterate, this could be, you know, what you believe in mostly. Could it be compassion, courage, creativity, family, health, humor, whatever you want to do, your achievements. After you identify your value systems, then you need to set goals. The second number is to set your goals, and we're going to go over goal setting as well. The third value is to plan weekly, to know what your overall week is going to look like. So many of us run from day to day, and at the end of the week, forget to finish the projects that we needed to do to step forward. When I talk to my staff, I continually talk to them about moving forward every single day. I want to see every day, even if it's a little mini step forward, I want to see that we've achieved something. I hate to see things that hang from week to week that are not getting accomplished, or projects that are like an open wound, that they linger and the only little bits and pieces of them get done. Because if you're only doing little bits of them, what's going to happen is eventually, like a wound, it's not going to heal and it's going to create more damage because it's going to sit there and the project gets ignored or it gets bigger. And it changes, the best thing is to attack that project, try to complete it, and move forward. So you want to plan weekly. You want to know the projects that you have. And then the last and fourth one, the fourth detail, is to plan daily. Now, if you can imagine a triangle, because the Franklin Covey Company uses a triangle as a metaphor, almost like a pyramid, at the top of the pyramid, the apex of the pyramid, would be your plan daily, your daily activities. Right underneath that would be plan weekly. Right below that, the third step down on the pyramid would be setting goals, and the fourth would be identifying your values. So the largest section at the bottom of the pyramid would be identifying your values and working your way up to the peak of it, which would be planning daily. Now, these four steps will help you establish an enduring value-based foundation for living. It's going to help you consider your life in terms of your time and your priorities, and you'll know how to weed out what's important and achieve the most important details. And achieve something most important only to hope, you know, you want to make sure that everything that you do in your life, you're actually living the life that you believe in, rather than kind of being caught up in everyday life as if you were in the undertow of the ocean and it was just spinning you over, and every time you got your head above water, it sucked you back under, and you're able to pull your head back up again and take another breath and it pulled you back under. You want to be on top of that water on a surfboard, just riding in the waves in full control, so that at the end you end up on the beach safe and sound and relaxed. So you need to be able to get control of that, and this is through these governing values. Now, one thing that, as far as the four steps again, number one, identifying your values. As a business owner, you can't just be focused on your priorities as far as just business. For instance, if you have your life skills and you want to be a karate teacher and own a business, there's got to be a value that's underlining under that. For instance, we're not just doing it because we want to make money, but we may be doing it because we want to help people, and we may be doing it so that we could secure a financial future in the same right for our families and ourselves. So these are all different things in your values. You want to help people. You want to have a future with your family, provide, be a good father or husband or wife or whatever. These are the value systems that we need to establish. Once we've established those, then you could break down your different values, your core values that you want to be. For instance, you play many different roles in life. Myself, I'm a single dad. I'm a martial arts school owner. I'm a teacher. I'm a public speaker and consultant. So I have to break those categories out, and then I have to set goals for each one of those categories, and then I have to put my priorities in order. So I'm going to break it down a little bit deeper. So step one, identifying values. I'm going to read this from the Achieving Your Highest Priorities. It says, the first and most important step in living in accordance with your highest priority is to clarify and document your core values. And that's going to guide your decisions. That's what I basically just said before. According to Stephen Covey in his book First Things First, which I highly recommend, to value something is to esteem it to be of worth. And values are critically important. Our values drive our choices and our actions. Again, he writes, you have to clarify your values before you can set your goals, and you must set goals before you can plan. Because clarifying your values is the most important step in determining your life plan, the value mission section is what you have to work on. Now, in our planning guide, we get a value mission section where you're almost writing your own self-mission statement of who you want to be and who you are and what you're trying to achieve. Now, in this book, it actually, First Things First, it walks you through in this step-by-step process. But you'll find that if you just take the time to figure out who you are and what your life goal is and what you do, you'll be able to grow into knowing what your core values are. So the first step is step one is identifying your values. The second one is setting your goals. Now, this I've gone into a lot in many classes, but let me read it verbatim from the book. It says, once you have identified your values and your missions, you're ready to set goals. How will you be, do, and have all the things that you wrote about? How will your life, according to your personal mission statement, grow? How will you plan your life so that you're spending time on your highest priorities? So this is very, very important. In goal setting, what happens is we need to write a map. For instance, if I were to fly in a plane from, let's say, New York to England, if I was off on just a slight bit, 1 degree to the left, I could end up in an entirely different place. So I need to learn to get a map, and the map is a metaphor for a massive action plan. What I need to do is be able to set a goal. Like, for instance, if I want to grow my student base in my school, and my goal is to grow my studio, I can't just write down a goal that says grow your studio and every day look at that goal, grow your studio. I need to be able to set that map, the massive action plan in progress, and say to myself, how am I going to grow my studio? What am I going to do? What are the steps that I'm going to do daily to make my school grow? One of them, for example, may be to put systems in effect so that when students come in, I'll maintain them. The second might be to get on some sort of marketing campaign. The third may be to institute a referral program. The fourth may be to train my staff how to receive all those things when people come in with calls and inquiries and trial classes. So I'm setting my massive action plan. One goal has many, many, many steps. So when I set my goals, I have to set those mini steps in place. So each goal has an entire plan of action that I'm going to use. The second step is about goals and plans is where I turn my values, my personal mission statement, my roles, and my information from the activities into achievable goals. For instance, if I want to be rich and I want to be wealthy, I can't just write on paper that I want to be rich and wealthy. I have to take those baby steps towards doing that. The first thing may be to clear up my debt. The second thing may be to save $50 per week in some sort of mutual fund or IRA or retirement plan. The third step may be to increase my hours at work or find a better way to make money or be able to come up with some sort of product that's going to make me some profit. So this is step two, is to determine my plan of action. And in review, activity four, the B's, the do's, the haves that we had talked about in the value mission section, each separate value item is a definable goal. So if under the haves you wrote that you wanted to own a beautiful new home, and you number it so that it's a single goal. I want to own a home. That's my first goal. If I also wrote down that I want to have a lovely garden surrounding the home, that I have to make as a second goal as well. Once I fill out my goals and I write down my 20 or 30 goals or my 5 or 10 goals, I fill out a sheet, and it's like a goal planning worksheet. And I have this available. If you guys want to email me, I could email you a worksheet that we had made up. And I also have it done for marketing as well. But now we have our long-term goals, and they start to take shape because I want to look at my goals in long-term. And if my long-term goal is to be rich, I go back to saving $50 a week. In X amount of weeks or X amount of months, I'll have X amount of dollars saved. And that's basically the way that we start out with our goal planning. And the second step is, too, as we do weekly goal planning or goal setting and we do weekly time management skills, we have to determine what we're doing and what we're going to do about it throughout the week. For instance, if I wanted to start a new marketing campaign, what I want to do is determine first what I'm going to use for the marketing. And the second thing I'm going to determine is who's going to help me get that marketing plan out. Who's going to prepare the flyers, deliver the flyers, put them out, and that's when I start to delegate or maybe even just mail it. So I need to prepare it and get it done and then do it on a consistent basis. And now, before I go more into goal setting, I'm going to quickly do also the Covey Planning System has a thing called the time matrix. And if you can imagine a box and you cut it into four sections, you make four individual boxes within the box. The first utmost important corner would be the number one box. It would be things of importance. And that would be things like crises that you have to take care of. For instance, if one of your employees didn't show up and they were sick, in the number one section you'd have pressing problems. Like, for instance, if you needed a permit on your school and, you know, they just came in out of the blue and said you need a permit, and if you don't have it, they're going to shut you down. That would be considered a pressing problem. Or if someone got hurt in class and so on. Another one in that area would be deadline-driven projects, meetings, reports, things you need, your statistics, your billing, and so on. In the second corner of the box, the top right-hand corner, would be your number two section. You'd have all the things like preparation, prevention, planning, relationship building, recreation, value, clarification, things that are going to help your school grow and run properly. Now, those are all considered above-the-line projects. Now, below left-hand corner would be your third area, and these are not so important, although they have to be done at times, but they're not always the most important things. And these are some things like maybe phone calls, like a needless interruption. Or maybe an employee walks in and says, I have a question for you, I'm having a problem. Unnecessary reports, like, you know, micromanaging things to the hilt where you don't need to know, like, what color eyes every student has or, you know, how many people laughed in class, whatever it may be. I'm just being silly, but, you know, things that are just not necessary, because sometimes we work ourselves to death on things that are unimportant. And then, of course, scheduling, you know, unimportant meetings like phone calls, mail, email, things that don't get you anywhere. We tend to take spending our lives in the busy work and not get the important things done. And then, you know, other issues of people, you know, people had a problem with their, you know, a secretary might have had a problem with her husband or vice versa. The husband, one of your instructors is fighting with his girlfriend, and you spend time wasting time on that project talking to them about it. Then in the bottom right-hand corner is our fourth section. And this is kind of, you know, stuff that we wanted. It's also not important, but trivia, busy work, irrelevant phone calls, mail, email, time wasters, excessive TV, internet, you know, and things of that nature. These are the things that we sometimes get caught up in. When doing email, we're ready to go and answer all our emails, but all of a sudden we get drawn into a, you know, email that someone sent to us, which is attached to a website, and it ends up creating a major issue for us. And it wastes a lot of time. So we need to have that planning set aside that we know that if this happens, we're just going to move through it and move forward. So anyway, let me quickly just open it up, Joanne, for a few questions, and I want to take little bites of this as we go along. So does anyone out there have any questions on what I've said so far? Am I being clear, or is it confusing, or whatever? Anyone out there?
Okay. Everything.
Anybody have a question? Hello? Oh. Okay. No questions, I guess. Okay. I'm going to go back into mode then. Let me work on goal setting. First and foremost, if we're going to set goals, and I don't want anyone to think, well, you know, we're all professionals, we all run businesses, but the reason why I'm able to get so much done is because I set my goals. Now, as I set the goal, picture a piece of paper, a blank sheet of paper, if everyone listed their 10 top goals. Or forget about it being a goal, it might just be a priority for the week. If we take on a Sunday evening and we take our week and we write down exactly what we'd like to achieve, of course, understanding that other things are going to come up that are unforeseen, that are in the quadrant 3 and the 4s, that are things that we have no control over, some things that we're going to have to attend to that we may not want to, but we want to be able to achieve our goals. We write out our entire week of what we want to achieve on the scale of 1 to 10, let's say. What we want to do then is prioritize those 10 goals. So, for instance, if let's just say, and I'm not going to go through all 10, but let's just say the first goal is for me to, again, my moral standards, spend more time with my daughter. The second thing would be to review all my employees' performance. The third thing may be to put my marketing plan in place. The fourth thing may be to call all my 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-week calls. So once I have my list of 1 to 10 or 1 to 20 or 1 to 50, I want to prioritize them. In the system of Franklin Covey, I love it because they'll use an alphabet system, and they have A, Bs, and Cs. So the A priorities are the top priorities. The B priorities are still important priorities that need to be done, and the C priorities are the not-so-pressing priorities. So, for instance, the A priority, if I have it, and out of 10 things, I may have 4 A priorities. I may have 4 B priorities, and then I may have 2 C priorities. So what I want to do in the beginning of my week, or Sunday, before the start of the week, is list my 10 major goals, 10 major things I want to achieve, 10 things that are very important to the growth of my business and to my life. And then I want to take those 10 things and I want to prioritize them in order. Once I have my A, Bs, and Cs, I then go even deeper and I prioritize each category. So I'll take all my A's and then I'll put a number next to it in order of how I'm going to achieve my A priorities. So A priorities is I wanted to spend time with my daughter. That might be my top priority. That would be an A1 priority. My second most important thing might be to do my marketing campaign, so that would be a A2 priority. And then A3 and A4. So then I know before I can move on to my B priorities, I want to make sure all my A priorities are done. Or I may do 2 A priorities per day, or 1 per day and 1 B priority. So then once I'm done with all my 4 A priorities, I'll go into my B priorities and I'll do the same thing. I'll take all 4 of my B priorities and I'll classify them and number them as B1, B2, B3, B4. Then I go into my C priorities and I do the same thing and I'll have C1 and C2. Now the discipline is to make sure that you do not go after priorities out of order. Our biggest thing with goal setting, I think, for people is that we end up wanting to see achievement, and sometimes the big priorities or big projects, they take longer. So we'll write down on our goals and we'll tick away at the easy things so that we could feel a sense of achievement. But at the end of the week, we look at our big priority and it doesn't get done. And we look at it and we say, wow, we've been working on this thing and it hasn't moved forward, or it's sitting stagnant. And we need to learn how to get right to the big priorities. We need to stay away from the email, and we need to get right to our marketing plan. Or we need to, you know, spend time with our family if we know we've been neglecting that. Or we need to spend time on our finances if we know we've been neglecting that. So again, let's quickly go over to review. In order to get it done, we plan weekly. In the beginning of the week, not as the week is going, you should try to plan out your week on that Sunday. If you can make that a discipline that you plan out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday through Sunday's activities, on that Sunday, you'll know Monday when you walk into work what you're going to dive into first. There's no wasted time right there. You get right into the project. Once you do that, you clarify all your priorities. You're going to know that all your A1s are going to get done first, and you're going to have a monumental week. You're going to have a lot of achievement going on. And then you're going to go into the Bs and the Cs, and of course you have them clarified in number form. Once you do that, you're going to find that you're going to be getting many more busy projects, bigger projects done than you used to, because you're spending the time on those first and you're not getting caught in the wasted items, all the little things. Sometimes we call that the big rocks. I'm going to read that to you from Franklin Covey. It says, choose your big rocks. Now looking at each of your roles, what is the most important thing that you could do as your role for the week and have that the greatest impact and positive impact on your life or your company or whatever you may call it? And I'm adding, as I say this, I'm kind of reading it and speaking, so it's not word for word. Whatever answer you come up with as far as being a big rock or a big priority, imagine that you're given a pile of rocks, some quite large rocks, some quite small rocks, and then you're asked to fit as many of these rocks as possible into a bucket. The best way to accommodate all the rocks is to place the big rocks in the bucket first and then allow the little rocks to fall in place around them. For instance, you're going to take your big priorities, and of course you have no control over whether someone calls you on the phone and you have to talk to them, or Mrs. Smith is upset because her son didn't get his belt, or maybe because the mayor came in from the town and is making you get a new permit for something. Those are the little rocks. So you take your big rocks. Those are the projects you concentrate on. The little rocks will pour in around them. And once you pour those little rocks around them, the best way to accommodate all the rocks is to place, you know, some of the middle rocks, you know, in there as, you know, the smaller, not the larger ones, not the smaller ones, but the middle rocks as well. Those are your B priorities. So it's with your week. If you schedule all the most important things first and then you schedule the least important tasks around them, you'll feel more effective and you'll be more focused on your highest priorities. Once you have your big rocks for each role, recorded under the appropriate role, for instance, you know, me with my daughter spending time with her, or me as a business owner, and not always have all the big, you know, not always do you have to have a big rock for each role either. So you may have littler rocks or littler priorities. It could be a C priority to maybe do banking. But you could come up with more big rocks after you finish the other large rocks. You could always put another big rock in place if you find that you finished them quick enough. And anyway, so for instance, if one of the roles is as a team leader and your big rock is to become better acquainted with a new team member, you might make an appointment to take the individual out to lunch. However, not all big rocks translate into tasks or appointments. Some become areas of focus for the week. For example, if one role, your big rock may be simply to be a better listener, then this isn't something you would schedule on your calendar, but if it's written on your weekly compass card or written down on your list of things to do, you'll be able to remember it and do it on a regular basis. Once you've selected the big rock for your role, then you may want to become a better listener in becoming a team leader. Then you're focused on that because you have it written down. So anyway, before I continue on, and I'll go into scheduling, some more scheduling stuff, I just wanted to see if everyone's following me and get a little feedback. And then I'm going to have, before we end, we're going to do like an open forum question. But anybody out there, and we could get some ideas if anybody has any questions so far on what we're doing? Does anyone have any comments? Is it helping them so far? Is it something that's far below their ability as far as, you know, you guys already know this stuff, or would you like to see me go in a different direction, or is it helpful?
Arts Academies.
How you doing?
Doing good. I had a question about the organizational and priority sheets that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are those ones I've done the Franklin Covey program myself. And
great.
Awesome. You know, you're absolutely right. It's changed everything. I use the leadership planner on my desk. And
great.
It's an awesome system. Are the sheets that you're talking about from, because they do have a similar sheet that they provide with that package?
Yeah, absolutely. The ones that I've designed are similar to the Franklin Covey ones, but I've actually brought them a little bit further into my business. So, for instance, I have a monthly marketing sheet that I use, and I also set it up for my staff as far as the projects that are a little bit more geared towards them. So
it's a little more sport or activity specific.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's action
specific. Well,
that
sounds great. I just didn't want to waste your time if they were the same ones I already have.
No, that's
but
a
I'm always
question,
looking for variations. And
yeah, you want to add that into, like, for instance, if you have staff members and they have projects, you may want to make a specific daily worksheet that they have to check off and do. And I have this with all my staff where on my website, takingittothenextlevel.com, in one of our months, it has a section where it has daily tasks, weekly tasks, monthly tasks, yearly tasks, and so on. And each staff member, program manager, / martial art teacher will follow these lists of things to do so that I know at the end of the week everything is getting achieved. And as you know, going through Franklin Covey, the biggest problem is not following the system. It's kind of stepping back and forgetting to prioritize and getting caught up in the rat race. And then at the end of the week, you go, wow, another week has gone by. Like, I'm sure all of us could look at it and say, I cannot believe that it's June 1st right now.
You're exactly right, because I do mine on Mondays.
It's amazing, right?
And it was a holiday this Monday, so that's when I do my Monday morning. I do my weeklies and my monthlies, and I do my little the leadership one has a nice centerpiece that gives you a nice priority. You got to get these done this week.
Absolutely.
And because there was no Monday this week, this week has been like catch as catch can for the last 2 days.
And that's hard, and that's exactly what it is. It's about preparation. I mean, I can't tell you that how many times that I've, you know, written goals. I've started writing goals before I went through the Franklin Covey planning system, and I keep them all logged in my computer ever since I had a computer, and I went back to, like, 1992, and it was amazing, you know, how small I started for the year. I might have had, like, 10 major goals. And then as I got better at achieving goals, now on my list of goals, I think last year I had, like, 400 goals that I achieved. Some of them were small. Some of them were rather large, you know. And it was amazing that as I started getting better at it, at how much more stuff I could get achieved or finished in the small amount of time that I was working on. And that's what makes goal setting so powerful. There was once a study done by Harvard University, and most people might have read this or heard about it before. And there was 100 people at the time in the study. And out of the 100 people, I think only 2% of the people actively wrote down their goals, and they actually pursued their goals. And then 20 years later, they researched and interviewed those same 100 people. And the 2%, whatever it was, out of the group had a higher net value than the entire 100 people. So just by goal setting, and if that's not the power of
Zig Ziglar uses that one. That's a great example of the difference it can make.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Well, I definitely appreciate it. Anyone else have a question? Any other ideas or comments out there? No? Okay, I'm going to keep on going. And I'm gonna continue with some other things real quickly. Then I'm gonna go into a little bit of some of the things that we achieve, and I've achieved as far as the goal setting. And then we'll continue with open forum questions because it goes so quick. Like I said, we're already in June. We're already at 2:32, so we're halfway through our conference call. Now, scheduling for the week, like this gentleman had just said to me, he missed Monday, and it was a holiday, and sometimes when you miss that Monday, you step into your week, and it's almost like you're caught up in the everyday rat race. You're in the rat race now, you're trying to just achieve, and you're really basically in what we call this a functioning mode. In other words, you're just basically in robot mode, you're just doing what you do every single day, and you're not moving forward as far as knocking off the big tasks. For instance, I do consulting calls, and on those consulting calls that I do, I sometimes give people tasks that I'd like to see them achieve. I might say to a person, I'd like to see maybe you work out a few different programs into your school, or I want to see you maybe raise your prices, or I want to see you work on developing this system on answering the phone. And then the next week or the week after when I talk to them, not much has gone on. Even in 2 weeks, you should have gotten a lot of the project done. So that's why I want to make sure that everybody who's doing this goal setting thing will get basically in some sort of task, and they're going to chew away at those what we call the big rocks or the big projects, and then you're going to move forward each time. For instance, if right now everyone that's on this conference took and they wrote down 12 systems that they'd like to incorporate into their martial arts school. When I say systems, I don't mean physical martial arts systems. I mean, like, for one, could be answering the phone. The next system may be doing a 2-4-6 week call. The next system may be a referral program with follow-up and you know, callbacks and cold calls. Another thing may be to add on a parent review. Another thing may be to add on a black belt club or a team leadership character development program, and so on and so forth. So let's say we pick 10 systems that we know our program should have. And if we did with those 10 systems, we prioritize them and say, well, I don't need to have a team leadership character development program just yet, but I do definitely need to make sure that I learn how to answer the phone and set up trial classes and close sales. And then you incorporate that system, and that would be your big rock. And that would be one thing you'd like to achieve. If you could take 12 systems and every week incorporate a system, or every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or even a month incorporate one system and have it up and running to full capacity, imagine how much better your school would be at the end of the year. a lot of times I'll speak to school owners and they'll tell me that they've had the same students for the last 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 4 or 3 years. I've been at the count of 50 or 100 or 200 students, and you can't break that barrier. That's because you're really not taking any of the big rocks or the big deal or the big programs and really working them to death. For instance, in my school right now, our main focus is to take our, out of our 1,200 students that we have, we want to get, we have about 50 to 55% of them on our Black Belt Club. Now we want to transfer a good portion of those people onto what we call our Masters Elite program. Once we do that, in order to do that, we have to stay and work at that on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and a monthly basis so that we start to see the transfer happening. Once we start to see that happening in a larger scale, we'll start to build a synergy where more and more people want to be in that program. And then we could say to ourselves, let's move on to the next goal because we've achieved that. If I just kind of hope and wish and kind of wait and not really take any action, what's going to happen is my school is just going to stay stagnant. It's going to stay the same, and I'm going to scratch my head and wonder why nothing has changed, why the school hasn't grown, and so on and so forth. As simple as it may sound, all you have to do is put the legwork forward. All you have to do is put the energy in, and there's no way, no way, shape, or form that you could stay in the same spot that you are right now. The only reason why people stay where they are is because we get caught up in everyday life, and then we get to the mindset of where we say we can't move forward because everything is in the way. So we want to be able to just, like I said, prioritize and move forward every single day, one step at a time. And this, without this, we're in trouble because that's where we end up finding ourselves getting burnt out, end up finding ourselves losing money, losing our schools, and eventually closing down. So this is just a small portion of, you know, what I consider goal setting and goal planning. And I, again, it works on the first priority, which is knowing our mission and core values, what we're all about and what we want to accomplish. If we want to become a martial arts school for adults, what are we going to do, that massive action plan, to achieve that? How are we going to get more adults? Are we going to advertise specifically to adults, go to gymnasiums or wherever adults hang out, put together a program that's adult-specific, and vice versa? If it's for kids, what are we going to do in that category? Then the second thing is, after we set our core values and know what we really are, then we start working towards that plan and prioritizing in A, B, C priorities, having your A1 priorities, A2, A3, and 4, B1, 2, 3, and 4, C1, 2, 3, and 4, and working on them diligently and having a discipline not to move on to priorities that are not important to you. It almost sounds selfish in a way to be able to say, well, I can't speak 45 minutes to an hour on Mrs. Smith or why Johnny's not listening at home, but that's not a priority as far as growing my school. So I'll spend 5 or 10 minutes with her, but I can't spend an hour and just, you know, talk and not get any results and not see my school grow forward. I have to stay on top of the things. And the last thing I'm going to go on to, which is so, so important and why I'm able to achieve as much as I do, is that I delegate, and I delegate well. And we have a saying in our school, which is inspect what you expect. So anytime I delegate, I have a category in my Covey planner, and I also have separate folders for each one of my employees, 22 or 23 employees that we have. And basically, I'll go over those employees, and I'll have goals and projects that I set for them, and I write them down, give it to them. They put them in their Covey planner, and then we, you know, follow up on them. And I'll inspect what I expect. I will look and say, hey, listen, Rich, have you done this that we had spoken about? And, you know, if it goes for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, we may want to reconsider whether that employee is the right person for the job. We want to make sure that they're taskmasters, that they're able to take the task, take it, handle it, and run with it. We want to be able to delegate and be able to just watch people run with it. Sometimes they don't have to do it the way we want. As long as it gets done properly, they may have their own method. We just want to watch them, inspect them, make sure they're doing it right, and then and follow up. And we have another saying, which is called follow up and follow through. Anything that I ask of someone, I need to follow up on. And if they're not doing what I ask, I have to follow through by checking on them and maybe giving them the instruction that they need to have to be able to perform the task that they have. Because not always is an employee a bad employee. Sometimes they're undertrained. But there are times when people are just not right for the job. They're not right to teach. They're not right to do a specific thing. And we have to be very, very careful at who we put in what position. So, okay, it's 2:40. Let me open up the floor for any questions on anything. So whether we're on goal setting or time management or anything in their school, marketing, advertisement, systems, and so on, just feel free to ask me a question, and we'll hit those questions, and maybe it'll be a question that someone else wants to ask as well. So anyone out there with a question?
Ellie?
Yes.
Larkin here.
What's your name?
Jay Larkin.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Just fine.
Great.
I got that book you mentioned on the last conference call, First Things First.
Right, yes.
And from your experience using these systems, what pitfalls would you suggest we watch?
Laziness.
Things that just kept creeping up on you that you had to modify, say, from the First Things First, actual logistics.
Yeah. I would say the most important thing, and this is not to be sarcastic, is laziness. And when I say laziness, you could also equate that as being comfortable or, whatever it may be. But I think that at times we're not diligent enough to keep on moving forward on the tasks at hand. So the most important thing, like I said, is to prioritize and then stay on task until you're finished. I'm the kind of person that lives my life based on wanting – I don't like to move forward on a new project until I close the old project up. Of course, some projects are ongoing, but for instance, if I host a tournament, I'll start running my – I have an open tournament that I run in April every year. I'll start preparing on that tournament in just about December or January of the year, starting the marketing and the preparation and the flyer and so on. And I get done with it in the end of April. At that time, within 2 weeks of me closing up the tournament, I want to make sure that everything, all the paperwork is filed, all the stuff is done, so I could put that away and not have to look at it or even hear about it again until December of the following year. So I think that that's important, because you'll see some people will do, and I just had a really great personal assistant in many respects. She was a person who was very talented, very, very motivated. But the projects would linger on and on and on and on. For instance, I had one project that was 3 or 4 months old that I spent about 15 or 20 hours explaining the project to the person and motivating them to keep the project, and do it. And when I finally decided that they weren't the person for the job, I was able to get the project done within 4 hours. Because I put my mind to it, worked my butt off, got it done, didn't leave the office, didn't have lunch, didn't talk to anybody until the project was totally done and sealed. So it was like 6 months of an open wound, and I spent more time talking to this person trying to motivate them than it took me to do the entire project. So the biggest thing is follow up and follow through, and to stay on task.
Follow through.
Follow through, always. And you know how hard that could be. We may say we're going to do this, and then it just doesn't get done. And week one goes by, and all of a sudden week two goes by, and now we're in June, and we're wondering why we haven't bumped our enrollment up yet. Or we're wondering why. But it's easy. It's obvious. You could say to yourself, did you really market the way you were supposed to? Have you really put all the systems in effect? I've been talking for about a year on the conference calls about referral programs. You would not believe how many people out there are still not pursuing their referral programs as if it were a source of marketing. If everyone put a really powerful referral program in effect and called their customers, there's no doubt in my mind that they'd add 20 or 30 students to their client base right now. No doubt.
Well, I feel good because we got our new guest passes last week.
There you go. So I'm happy. And then follow up with it with phone calls and other mailers and pursue it like as if you were marketing in the newspaper to a cold call to a client that's fresh out of the yonder, and make sure that you follow up on your clients that way on your referrals. Does that help? Did that help you at all?
It does. And if I could follow up, how do you feel about programs like Microsoft Outlook?
I think it's great. Again, the thing with Microsoft Outlook is if you don't use it religiously, then it's going to become a problem. You got to get to the point where every day, like for instance me, I live out of my calendar, my Franklin Covey calendar. It travels with me around the world. I was just in Colorado in the foothills up in the mountains of Colorado, and in my backpack I had my Franklin Covey planner. I was teaching seminars and camping and training, but I had my calendar with me. So if anyone asked me a question, I had all my phone numbers there, all my email addresses, all my projects for the month. One gentleman had asked me to come out and teach a seminar at his school in the future. I was able to walk right open to my planner and say, well, I'm busy up until the end of August. So I knew, and it's never that I'm without my planner.
So I think I get it. The secret of this is to do this every single day.
Every single day, like religion, like you would get up and brush your teeth. It has to become habit. It has to become something that you do not – you can't do without. You can't just leave it home on vacation for 7 days, but when you're there, you bring it, you only take it out once on your vacation for an hour when you're relaxed sitting on the beach, and you set up your next 5 months or 5 weeks. In my school, we have our entire calendar for the year was done in January. On the first week of January, we had our entire year scheduled out with all our special events, bowling nights, summer camp, seminars, everything you could possibly think of. As a matter of fact, you guys could go on my website and look on lininja.com and take a look at my calendar, and you'll be able to see that we even have our Christmas party booked. Someone's got to mute their phone there. So if I, with the ringing, any other questions? Any other comments from anybody?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Allie, this is Mike Brooks. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I just want to add something. You know, a person brought up a good point about two seconds ago. I've been using Franklin Covey on and off for about 10 years. And,
great.
And what I mean by using it on and off is that I get one at the beginning of every year, and I use it for about 3 months.
Right.
And that's just me, and I think the important thing to stress is that you need to be honest with yourself. Each person has to be honest with themselves and say, what works for me? And I know
right.
what works for me. I've been to the Franklin Covey things, and I think it's a great system. I just can't keep myself using it. And
right.
what works for me simply is I got myself a Yahoo account, and I do everything in my calendar on Yahoo because I'm a computer guy. I like using
right.
the computer.
Right.
So that worked for me. I went out and got myself a Palm Pilot that I could sync up with my Outlook, with my Yahoo calendar, and it works great. Something's
That's
always
great.
Beeping at me or sending me an email, and it works. So
absolutely.
I think the important thing is, you know, find what works for you because not everything works.
Well, that's the truth. And you know what? I think that's a great comment because don't think that I'm just, you know, I don't get any commissions on Franklin Covey, so I'm not out there just, it's something that I've found to be a system that I've worked to make it really work for me. I made it a discipline. And whether it be Franklin Covey or Yahoo or Microsoft Office or whatever it may be, you have to have something that you do on a regular basis.
Yeah, and the key is to use it.
Absolutely. It could just be a notepad. It really could be just as simple as a notepad or a calendar that you write your stuff on and that you follow up on. But the key is to really work on the projects that are at hand, to find those big projects that are going to move you forward in life. Like, for instance, on a relationship, people, friendships or marriages, people always say, you know, when I get more time, well, I'm going to take the family away. Well, I have a friend that I just found out that their wife is really, really sick and, you know, who knows if they're ever going to have that time anymore. You know, they've been saying for years, we're going to go on a family vacation. I'm like, don't you think it's about time that you finally go on that family vacation? So, you know, they've been taking that big rock, that family vacation that probably would have given them so much more excitement and energy and love, and they've been putting it off because they just have not scheduled it. They have not prioritized. They have not made that their top priority. And whether it be a vacation or a new system in your school or a black belt club or whatever, we need to, on a regular basis, take our big rocks, our big projects, and we have to work at them, and we have to make sure that they're not just open wounds sitting out there halfway started, but they're something that we put into effect and we work to the fullest, work to the, you know, to the max, so that they become a viable spoke in the wheel of our school. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
But I agree with you 100%, Mike. That's totally awesome. How about anyone else? Any other comments out there? Any questions? And again, it doesn't have to be on goal setting. It could be on anything in the martial arts in general. We have about 9 minutes left.
Hello, Renchi Alley.
Yes, sir.
This is Bruce Costa with Tsunami Karate. How are you?
How are you?
Nice to hear your voice, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and you as well.
I'll tell you what, I've had a day timer stapled to my hip since 1986.
Great.
That has now, of course, like the gentleman before me, transformed into a Palm Pilot now in 2005 and been through many permutations since. I, too, have been in the foothills of the Rockies with it in my backpack.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just, and like you say, every single day, everywhere, all the time, I can pull it out and plan anything.
Absolutely.
It's escorted me through four, this is my fourth industry now, I've got, you know, the beautiful house in the woods, the RV, the three children, the black belt in karate, the karate school, it really, really works like you're saying. And
absolutely.
And every day, every single day. But
what I really
want to talk to you about is that I've taken this early on in my school. I think I had 20 students when I did this.
Right.
And I made this a program in my school.
Great.
So every 4 months, I hand out a form to all of the students on, it's their, and in encouraging them to join our STORM team, special team of role models, right?
Right.
Well,
right.
What that means in my school is that you have set and achieved a long-range goal. So they
great.
Fill out this form. It has to include the goal stated specifically and measurably, and then
right.
I teach them to break it down intermediate and short-range goals, and they work it through. And I'll tell you what, man, I have had students raise thousands of dollars for families overseas. I've
great.
Had students learn musical instruments, foreign languages. I mean, just the body of achievement that the students have themselves accomplished as a result of this silly little program that costs
right.
me almost no time
right.
to administrate and to do. The whole time that I put into it is when they present me the goal, I sit down, I read it through, and then I talk to them individually for a good 15 minutes and tell
right.
them all about what measurability means and all
right.
about what specificity means. And then at the end of the thing, we have a night where everybody presents me their goals, and then I actually have developed a metric by which I can compare one student's achievement in correspondence to his or her abilities to another's. So this is literally a school-wide competition.
That's
where
great.
A 50-year-old physician can compete with a 7-year-old child on a level playing field.
Wow,
and I'll tell
great.
You what, man, it is just awesome. Everybody goes crazy for it. I give out awards, certificates, and we have a big night, and invariably there's people that, and we have a big party, and invariably
right.
there's people that can do something at the party that was their goal, so they can
wow.
play an instrument, or they can, you know, whatever
well, that's
it is
great.
Read what they wrote. Or
I'd love, you know, if you could do that for me, if you could just give me an idea, a little breakdown of that, maybe I can incorporate that into one of my weekly emails.
Oh, piece
well,
of cake. I'll email you the form. How's that?
That would be great. And then you and I will talk, because we do quite often. I just emailed you about it 45 minutes ago, and we'll definitely be in touch. I'd love to be able to present that to everybody who's listening.
My pleasure.
Sounds dynamite.
Hey, do you mind giving out your email? I'd love to email you and see if I could get a copy of that, too.
Sure. My email is sensei@tsunamikarate.net.
And tsunami is TSU, right?
Yeah, NAMI.
Right.
I was going to say, this is like the one group I don't have to say how to spell sensei. I don't have
right.
to say how to spell.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get that, and you could talk to him and find out, and also email me, and then I'll try to incorporate that into one of our weekly emails.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's a great, great, great thing. I love it. I love the concept.
Oh, you're welcome. And there's one more point I have to bring up with
sure.
this. That, in combination with the fact that they get a recognition for either every report card with two A's, two-letter grade improvements, or one of each, right, or better,
right.
They get the STORM patch that I'm sure everybody's seen, that triangle patch you can get it at any martial arts distributor, plus a little half-inch blue star for every goal they've achieved, and a half-inch red star for every report card they get a star for. Well, this all comes down in that competition, and what I get to do, the benefit to me of this thing, other than, like, swelling with pride when I hear what a kid did,
right.
is I get to legitimately say in my marketing and in my conversations with new parents, I get to say, your kicking and punching is a benefit of what we do. Self-defense is there, but
right.
it's not remotely the focus. Excellence is the focus. And let me
right.
tell you what your kid's going to be capable of doing. And I'll tell you what, I feel legitimate, honest, and like I've got the best program. You know, go find that in T-ball, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, there's no way. So,
that's
there you go.
Great. Well, thank you. You're awesome. Appreciate
You're
it.
Thank you.
Jeez. Anybody else out there? Any comments or questions? Anybody else? No? Okay, well, we're just about going to wrap it up, so I wanted to finish off with a few things. One, I wanted to give you guys 5 books that I recommend to everybody. Some of them I've said in the past, so the first book is going to be is First Things First by Stephen Covey. I recommended that last time. Some people have read it already and picked it up. The second book is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's also Stephen Covey. And then the follow-up book to that book is The 8th Habit, and that's by Stephen Covey as well. Another book I found – unbelievable, and I'm a big fan of The Apprentice on TV, not so much for the antics and the show, but really more for the business lessons that I'm able to extract from the show. And so the next book is Trump, Think and Become a Billionaire by Donald Trump. And the last and final book, which probably most of you might have read or heard about, is in a totally different realm, which has nothing to do with business. It's called The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama. I found that this book to be really, really a great book. It's just an unbelievable book when it comes to the stress of everyday life. And I think that reading it will give you a whole new perspective on what you consider stressful and what you consider exciting and so on and so forth. And right at this point, I'd like to offer you guys again, anyone is interested, to my Taking It to the Next Level website. Now, understand that this website is a business curriculum, a monthly kind of curriculum that kind of just gives you systems every single month like we had spoken about. It's almost like goal planning, and I've done it for you, and you actually click in on month one and you'd open it up and it'd have a whole list of tasks and systems that you should incorporate into your school. And then month two will be a whole another set of systems, some of them that are expanding on the first month, some of them that are new, and so on and so forth. So anyway, it's at takingittothenextlevel.com, and if you're interested in a free month, just email me. And I will be able to email you the password for the program. And last time I did this last month, there was about four or five people that emailed me. If any of you guys are on the line, I'd like to see if anybody tried it out. Did anyone out there take the free month and check out the site?
Hey, Ali, I emailed you with the request. Looked at it real quick, but I just haven't had time to go back.
Right.
I was going to even ask you if I could do it again for the next month.
Well, you could do it. That password is for month one. So once you gain access to month one, you're in for forever until I change that password.
Oh, good.
So you guys have access to month one. Utilize it and take the time. And I know we're so busy. You see, that's the thing. I had a few people actually join the next level and then cancel. And when I asked them why they canceled, they said to me they just don't have the time to even review the material. That's why with the ample amount of stuff that we have out there with Mata and Melody Schumann, Schumann Concepts and Maya and NatMa and all this stuff, what we need to do as a priority is find out which one, if we only have the time for one, which is going to be the one that we're going to really work diligently and have a discipline on, and then just work that program. Because if we're working 50 of them 1%, we're not going to get anywhere. But if we're working one of them to 100%, you know how it is. We're going to be able to maximize that. So, yeah, absolutely. That's open for you. Take advantage of it. See how you like it. And anyone else who's interested, just email me. It's a dynamite program. I think you're going to like it. And like I said, it's free. I'm just giving it to all our consulting clients so that people could get just a head start. And month one has a lot of really good things in it. And if anything, you at least get an idea of how I set up the goals. And this is all based on my past experiences and what I've learned and how I want to save you guys time and money and not have you waste your time. So anyway, looks like we're going to close it up. It's just about 3 o'clock.
Hey, Ali.
Yes.
This is Chuck Quern.
Hey, sir.
Hey, man, I got on your call. I was in the beginning, and I had a customer come in, and I had to hang up.
Oh,
and I just got back on the line when you were talking about what you were just talking about. Could you just go over real quickly what we were talking about that is available to us?
Oh, well, we have my Taking It to the Next Level .com website, and I'm giving out the first month for free. Again, it's not really, I'd like to see you guys continue with the program, but it's not designed. I'm not trying to do that to sell you the program, but I'm giving out, so all you have to do is email me, and you'll have the first month free on Taking It to the Next Level, just to get an idea of how I set it up and how it's it's a business curriculum from month to month to month.
I see. Okay, yeah, I've heard that on the last call.
Right, so email me if you're interested, and like I said, we have to just, go on there, take a look, and put some of those systems in effect.
Okay, great. Hey,
great.
Thank you very much. I wish I'd have been on your call. The beginning was fantastic.
Well, no problem. And don't forget, they normally at the end of the month, they archive everything, and it's right there available for you so that you could download it or listen to it online. So if you missed it right now, you could always go back and pick up any of them. I know that's how I always listen to Melodies because Wednesdays are bad for me, and I normally am able to get on there and hear it, one or two in the morning and listen through to it.
Right.
Okay, everybody. Listen, I'm sorry that I have to rush off. I'd love to stay longer. You guys have available access to anything. I'd love to work with you. And like the sensei from the Tsunami Karate had given us a great idea. I'm sure all of you have unbelievable ideas out there. I am not the source. I'm basically one of the ninjas in the world where I borrow information and pass it on. So if you guys could help me, or if you'd like to see something or hear something, I'd love to get your feedback. You guys could email me at Renshi, R-E-N-S-H-I-L-I, like Long Island Ninja, N-I-N-J-A, at AOL.com. That's Renshi, L-I, Ninja, at AOL.com. I'd love to be able to keep in touch with everybody on a more regular basis, and I want to be able to help you guys if I can, or get feedback on what you want to see more of and how we could take member solutions and move it forward. Have an incredible day. Take care, Joanne. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from everybody on email. Please email me and ask me questions or give me your feedback. Have a great, great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, sir.